Our present meditation is on Saturday, Mary's day of faith in the resurrection. Since the early centuries of the church, Saturday has come to be specially associated with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And even the modern devotion to the first Saturdays is an outgrowth of almost 2,000 years of the Church's historical Marian devotion. The reason for this is that on the first Holy Saturday, Our Lady was the only one of the followers of Christ whose faith in Christ's resurrection from the dead never waned. As she stood on Calvary, watched her son expire on the cross, she believed He would rise from the dead, as He promised. And you may be sure told her privately many times, Mother, they will kill me on Friday, and I will rise from the dead the following Sunday. Not a few fathers of the church hold that Christ's first appearance was not to Mary Magdalene, or the holy women, or the disciples, but to Mary. And St. Ignatius, in his spiritual exercises, first meditation of the risen Christ is to Our Lady. And knowing that it is not in Scripture, he said, doesn't have to be. Are you also, he says, without understanding? What could be more obvious that the Son would first, after His resurrection, appear to His mother? Our purpose in this meditation is to bring out five areas . First, Christ's promise of resurrection to those who receive His body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. Second, Christ's testimony to those who believe in Him that He will raise them from the dead on the day of resurrection. Thirdly, Mary's faith in her divine Son's bodily resurrection from the dead. Fourth, Mary's own bodily assumption, call it anticipated resurrection from the dead. And finally, our own firm hope of rising from the dead because of our faith in Christ's real presence in the Holy Eucharist, and of our reception of Him in His glorified body in Holy Communion. First then, Christ's promise. As recorded in the sixth chapter of St. John that we have read and meditated on so often. Christ was clear in promising to raise up on the last day. Those who believe in His real presence and therefore receive Him in Holy Communion. The 70-some verses in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, one of the longest in the New Testament. The theme is faith. And faith not just in Him, generically, but faith in His divine power to change bread and wine into His own living body and blood, and of those who believe, that's the substratum, who believe and receive, them, He promises, He will raise from the dead. Christ tells us, Father, we've got the supernatural life in our souls, as He told we needed baptism 3 chapters earlier in John's Gospel. He will not remain alive supernaturally in our souls unless we receive Christ's living body and blood in Holy Communion. But we must believe. If then, when our body dies, and until the Lord causes it into eternity, never, never say we die. Nobody dies. Erase, or use a whiteout, or tear the page out. Nobody dies. The body dies. If when our body dies, without supernatural life in the soul, we shall not reach heaven. But to sustain the supernatural life in our souls, we must believe that Christ is really present in the Holy Eucharist and receive Him into our bodies so that our souls may remain alive. And when our bodies die, then Christ's closing promise, when our bodies die, there will be the 3 famous D's, death, decay, and delay, but just a delay. Our bodies, He promises, will be raised by Him to a glorious resurrection on the last day. Secondly, Christ's testimony that He is the resurrection and the life. Remember the grave of Lazarus. Christ asked Martha, Lazarus' sister, if she believed that her brother would rise on the last day. By the way, all Orthodox Jews, one of the marks of Orthodoxy in Judaism, they all believe today in the resurrection of the body. Good to hear. All they've got to do is read the book of Job, where he says, I believe I will see my Savior. in eternity. With my eyes, I'll behold him. Martha told Jesus, yes, I believe that my brother will rise. He'll rise on the last day. Christ then told her, I am the resurrection and the life. That is a perfect definition of the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist sustains our supernatural life, and the Holy Eucharist guarantees the resurrection of our bodies. But Christ, it would have to be John's Gospel again. Here Christ says, he that believes in me will live forever. Then I will raise him up in his body on the last day. Third area of reflection. Mary's faith in her son's resurrection. She had heard, we may be sure more often than even the disciples, that Christ, her son, would indeed rise from the dead. Her son's conditional resurrection of the dead. Provided, notice, he is the resurrection twice over. He is the resurrection because he himself, by his own divine power, would raise himself, as he promised, from the dead. But he is also the resurrection as the cause of our resurrection. And the key is our faith in his divinity, so that believing that when we receive his body, but we've got to believe, unlike even his own disciples who walked away, remember? We've got to believe that he is really present in the Holy Eucharist, and that provided we receive him into our bodies, he is our resurrection also from the dead. Holy Saturday proved that Mary's faith was unqualified, as the Church's testimony over the centuries confirms. It is a universal teaching of the Church that after her son's ascension, Our Lady was the great devotee of the Holy Eucharist, received her own divine son, as she had carried him in her womb for 9 months, she received him, shall we say, back into the body from which he came. Mary's faith, therefore, in her son's resurrection, and back to Saturday, unwavering on that first Holy Saturday, is the model, the inspiration, and the assurance of our own glorification in body, and of course, eternal life for our souls. It is the common teaching that Mary died. But we know that she was taken, body and alive, body and soul, into heaven at her assumption. Christ, we must remember, as Paul tells us, is the first fruits of those who fall asleep. As I've said over the years, the main purpose of everything in the world, the creatures, and things in the world have a thousand purposes, but the highest purpose that the created world serves is to provide us an analogy, a comparison with the mysteries of the faith we believe but do not comprehend. So our daily, for most people, going to sleep and then getting up, as we call it, in the morning, is a divinely revealed analogy for what we casually call death. Death, nothing. We're just going to sleep. Christ's own vocabulary. And then, my favorite description of eternity is the dawn. It's the morning. You'll wake up bright and fresh. Jesus, as St. Paul tells us, rose from the dead by his own divine power. He was the first fruits of those who sleep. By the way, try to cultivate the habit. It's a good one. Every time you go to sleep at night, remind yourself. And maybe you have that prayer that I've been saying for years with ecclesiastical approbation of the acceptance of death. If you call me, dear Lord, tonight, in anticipation of getting up from sleep, on our resurrection day, if Christ was the first fruits of those who sleep, Mary was the second. And we, my friends, oh, how hopeful we are. And we are the third. As God. Mary believed that her son, though surely a man, how well a mother knows. Therefore, as God, Mary believed that Jesus had power over his body. And as the God-man in the Eucharist, who to be received in Holy Communion, receiving him, his glorified body, into our very mortal bodies, is the condition and the promise of our own glorification, as Jesus told us on the last day. Mary believed it, and, well, faith tells us she had her assumption long before the rest of us. Finally, our hope of our resurrection is assured by our faith in Christ's resurrection. But how do we profess that faith? Remember this. We mainly profess our faith in Christ's resurrection, remember twice over, as both the one who raised himself and will raise those who believe in him. Our principal profession of faith in Christ's resurrection twice over is our faith in his risen humanity, in the real presence of the Holy Eucharist. As the glorified, risen Christ, he was on earth. We believe that the Holy Eucharist is the risen Savior. With St. Thomas, it's why over the centuries the Church has had the faithful remember at the elevation to pronounce the words, "My Lord and my God," spoken to the risen, get it? The risen Jesus, believing his divinity, that he had the power and exercised it by raising his dead body from the grave and reuniting again by his divine power his human soul with his now glorified human body. Finally, Christ's injunction that we receive his glorified body into our, needless to say, very unglorious bodies. The body, I didn't talk this way 30 years ago. The closer we get to eternity, oh, kind of God, the body becomes, well, whatever word you use, weaker. Cannot see as well, cannot hear as well, cannot sprint or run as well. Thanks, Lord, for reminding us that we are not made in our bodies, get it, in our bodies for this world. But our souls, the moment our bodies die, our souls, provided we've served our Lord, our souls, that's hope immediately. They'll go to heaven. But, provided these bodies receive our Lord in his glorified humanity, in the Holy Eucharist, come a day when the bodies will rejoin the souls, and then it will be not only the last day of the present visible world, but the first day of not only eternal life, but hear it, eternal bodily life. We need this. Because we have to serve God in this life. What else? We are not angels. We are human beings. We have, how well we know, not only a soul, but also a body. But, provided we use these bodies, pardon me, provided we use them up, wear out our bodies, exhaust them, and serving our Lord here on earth, and keep nourishing these bodies with a glorified body of Christ, and come to Him in the Holy Eucharist and tell Him, "Dear Lord, You've made it. You are now in Your glorified humanity in heaven. But, Jesus, I believe in You. Provided I use my body as You want me to, especially, dear Jesus, in the two most difficult virtues that I have to practice with my body, in the practice of chastity and charity. I am confident that believing in Your glorified humanity in the Holy Eucharist here on earth, and receiving You in Your glorified body with faith here in this valley of tears, I will see You and behold You and be embraced by You in my own glorified body in that eternal Easter Sunday for which I was made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.